This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show. And those little smart speakers just ask those little suckers to play WILK News Radio. How's everybody doing on this Wednesday, April 1st, 2026? No April Fools today. It's a historic day. Artemis II mission to the moon is 1 hour, 14 minutes till launch window opens up. Jake, you could play that in the background. I'll just talk over it. We're going to monitor what's going on. We're going to bring it to you if it's something that I think we can
get some
key in on. We will indeed do that. Again, it's T-minus 1 hour, 14 minutes till launch time here.
To get clearance, to clear the range, rather, and to as well work the FTS system. And so now they are go. Again, the range is go. That is no longer a constraint. And so you combine that with the fact that the rocket and the ground systems here also working, no constraints, clear board here is great news. So again, the range is green, and we're continuing to work through the countdown. We got a weather update that came in to the launch director from Launch Weather Officer Mark Berger. He reported out that there's still a little bit of feisty weather activity that's happening up in the Titusville area. That's the city neighboring the Kennedy Space Center. Those showers had passed over Kennedy, and then now they're currently over in Titusville, currently still within that mile kind of constraint of flight through precipitation rule. But we're still far enough from the window that it looks like it won't be an issue. And in fact, we're seeing some good sunlight now breaking through onto the launch pad. As you can see, it's actually
now where they're discussing that. I'm just going to go through what we're going to see. Launch time right now is scheduled for 6:24 p.m. That's when the launch window opens. That is subject to change. 9 seconds into the launch, they will clear the tower and initiate roll and pitch maneuver.
Which, as a reminder,
at 1 minute 11 seconds will be max Q. They will be traveling at 1,061 miles per hour at an altitude of 42,000 feet. They will have SRB separation at the 2 minute mark at 3,000. 177 miles per hour at an altitude of 156,000 feet. The LAS jettison will happen at the 3-minute, just after the 3-minute mark. Course stage MECO will happen at the 8-minute mark. They will be traveling at over 17,000 miles an hour, 500,000 miles above the Earth. And then course stage ICBS separation just after that.
That's the latest from the firing room.
They will have a pedigree raise maneuver, the ICPS.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Great.
At the 49 minute mark.
Yes, we did just see them close.
They will have a burn, raise burn at the 1 hour and 47 mark. They will be traveling 17,000 miles an hour.
I'm sure relieved to hear that that issue with the flight termination system has been resolved.
They will have a ICSB Orion Max Pro demo
launch from the range
at the 3 hour mark.
And go from all of them, I would imagine.
But right now,
this is going to be exciting. The crowd is building.
They are in the process of about to closing the outer door. They have closed the inner door and the safety mechanism. And now they are in the process of
down there at the Banana Creek viewing location, and she's
finalizing the outer door closure and seal.
I don't know if you heard that huge cheer just now. If you heard a big rumble, as soon as Daryl said that the range was clear for launch, everybody clapped and was super excited as we get to these final countdowns. Standing next to me, I have Hudson and Maddox, the set of brothers here. And I asked you a little bit earlier, how excited are you to be here for launch? What did you say?
I'm very excited. I'm
in the viewing area at the Kennedy Space Center. They're talking to spectators that are in there. There's outer, inner viewing areas. There's obviously public areas around, and there's been a traffic advisory from the Florida State Police for highway viewing areas and roadways that are around the area. The three members are now in the process of sealing the capsule door. Has just been sealed.
Take a 10-day trip around.
The outer door of the capsule itself has just been sealed. And they are now twisting the pressure sensors and are testing the perimeter of that door as it closes. As I said earlier, there have been 24 American astronauts that have gone and visited the moon, who at least reaching lunar orbit or beyond. And that's between 1968 and 1972. All were Americans till this day. Now, the astronauts who landed on the moon, 12 total, these are people who walked on the moon. Neil Armstrong, Apollo 11, July 16th through the 24th of 1969, obviously the first person to walk on the moon. Buzz Aldrin, also of Apollo 11 in 1969. Pete Conrad, Apollo 12 in November of 1969. So we were there in July and went back right in November, where Pete Conrad and Alan Bean were the next two in Apollo 12. Apollo 14 in 1971, Alan Shepard, the first American in space in the Mercury, and later a moonwalker. So Alan Shepard, Apollo 14, although he was the first American in space, he was the fourth American to step foot on the moon. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 in January of 1971. David Scott of Apollo 15, July of 1971, James Irwin, Apollo 15, again, 1971. John Young, Apollo 16, also flew on Apollo 10 to orbit the moon. Charles Duke, Apollo 16 in 1972. Eugene Cernan, Apollo 17, 1972. The last person to walk on the moon, also flew on Apollo 10, the orbital. Harrison Smith, Apollo 17, December of 1972, only professional geologist to walk on the moon. Now, astronauts who orbited the moon but did not land. Michael Collins of Apollo 11 orbited while Armstrong and Aldrin landed. Richard Gordon, Apollo 12, orbited while Conrad and Bean landed. Stuart Rosa, Apollo 14, January of 1971, orbited while Shepard and Mitchell landed. Alfred Worden orbited while Scott and Irwin landed. Ken Mattingly, Apollo 16, orbited while Young and Duke landed. Ronald Evans, Apollo 17, orbited while Cernan and Schmidt landed. Frank Borman, Apollo 8, commander of the first crewed mission to orbit the moon. Jim Lovell, Apollo 8, 1968, and Apollo 13, 1970, traveled to the moon twice without landing. Bill Anders' Apollo 8 took the famous Earthrise photo. That was 1968, December. Thomas Stafford, Apollo 10, commander of the lunar orbit dress rehearsal, 1969. John Young, 1969, also landed later in Apollo 16. Eugene Cernan also landed later on Apollo 17. And Fred Haise, lunar module pilot on the aborted landing mission in April of 1970. A total of 24 unique U.S. astronauts reached the vicinity of the moon. Three, Lovell, Young, and Cernan, flew twice. No other U.S. space program has sent astronauts to the moon. As of 2026, only a small number of the original 24 are still with us. Now, the Artemis II crew that they just sealed the outer hatch to their capsule at now, the mission will send these four astronauts to approximately 10-day journey around the moon and back aboard the Orion spacecraft. It is a test flight that will not include a lunar landing but will travel into deep space beyond low Earth orbit. The crew consists of three NASA astronauts and one Canadian Space Agency astronaut. And again, they include Reid Wiseman of NASA, commander, a former Navy test pilot, veteran of a long-duration International Space Station mission. Victor Glover, NASA pilot, will become the first black astronaut to travel to the moon. Christina Koch of NASA, mission specialist, would become the first woman to travel to the moon, but she's already set her own records, previously set the record for the longest single spaceflight by a woman. And Jeremy Hansen of the Canadian Space Agency, a mission specialist, former fighter pilot, colonel in the Canadian military. He's the first Canadian and non-American on a lunar mission. Just incredible. Looking at some text messages coming on. Yeah, the second guy, Buzz Aldrin, is still alive. Still alive and active on social media, mind you. Jay, can we crank up that audio in the background? Make sure it's caught up. 1 hour, 4 minutes till launch window.
Maybe thinking through the items that they're going to monitor through the launch, the different jobs that each of them have throughout the launch. And once they get to orbit, you know, this first day on orbit is actually really busy for them. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, two burns that they have to monitor. They've got to get the system set up and they've got to get the cabin set up. So there's a lot going on in the next 24 hours for this crew. I think they've got a couple sections where they get to take a nap, but I don't think they get a full night's rest for quite some time. So,
yeah,
going through.
I mean, I guess 10 days you got to sleep, but how? I mean, just to look at the day of the Artemis II crew. But starting at 12 noon today, the final rocket checks, go, no go decisions from mission control. 2 o'clock, the tanking begins, fueling, liquid nitrogen and liquid oxygen. At 4 o'clock, the astronauts leave crew quarters, transfer to the launch pad. 5 p.m., the crew boarding Orion. Final systems checks, 5:30, where we're at now. A live coverage and final countdown, and 6:24, if all goes well, liftoff. Artemis II launches to the moon, first crew deep space mission since 1972. 6:26, booster separation, and 6:32, the Orion reaches Earth's orbit. I'm sure we hopefully have some incredible video and photos of, like we've never seen before.
Continue on checking out many of the different critical Orion systems. Check out some of the critical medical systems, and be sure that
we're going to continue to monitor this for the last hour of the show here. But it is 5:21 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Again,
they are talking about the food, and they were actually displaying some of it. It's not freeze dried any longer. It's actually ready to be heated up and eat regularly. They just opened up a brownie, talked about some shrimp that they're able to have while up there. I have a listing of the menu items, 189 unique menu items on this. And it's double package. It has a radiation protection because they are leaving our atmosphere and is subject to radiation. So the food does not get contaminated. And then an inner package, which you need to open with a scissors. And then you know, eat. One of the sad things that I found out that were not on the menu was Tang. I understand that Tang is probably pretty bad for you this day and age, but just for nostalgia, it would have been good if it was on the list. So different 10 types of beverages: coffee, green tea, mango peach smoothies, chocolate breakfast drinks, vanilla breakfast drinks, lemonade, apple cider, pineapple drink, cocoa, and strawberry breakfast drinks. That's some of the different types of drinks that they have on board. The most common food items: tortillas is a big hit in space, wheat flatbread, vegetable quiche, breakfast sausage, nuts, mango salad, granola with blueberries, almonds, cashews, barbecue beef brisket, broccoli au gratin, spicy green beans, macaroni and cheese, tropical fruit salad, butternut squash, and cauliflower are just some of the menu items. The spice level on Artemis II, there are 5 different hot sauces flying around the moon with this crew. How many cups of coffee does it take to power the Artemis II crew? 43, based on this. Some culinary flavorings that are on board: the maple syrup, chocolate spread, peanut butter, hot sauce, spicy mustard, strawberry jam, honey, cinnamon, and almond butter. There are 5 Canadian products, although it does not list it. 58 tortillas are on board for this mission, and that will satisfy the sweet tooth of the crew during this 10-day mission. Well, the largest portion of that is cookies, then chocolate, then cake, candy-coated almonds, cobbler, and pudding. And that's by how much they have on board order. So cookies first. They have the most amount of cookies. Chocolate second. Cake is third. Then they have candy-coated almonds, cobbler, and pudding. Cobbler, pudding is pretty much even. So that's a little taste of what they'll have to taste. They were just showing their sleeping quarters on board. They are sitting in their launch seats right now, but there is a crew quarters, which pretty much hammocks is what it looks like. That's the best way to describe it. Within their workspace, and when they're done sleeping, they obviously move their hammocks out of the way, store them, and then do what they need to do. And there'll be plenty of tests during this 10-day mission. They will be, again, scouting landing areas for the Artemis III, which is supposed to take place later this year. So 2026 will be something special. Right now, they're below the hour launch window, 54 minutes, 48, 47, 46 seconds for the Artemis II launch. As well as what you're seeing there, the launch
abort system hatch. This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real 5-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the ultra comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
And now we are back live at the pad where the closeout crew is getting ready to leave the white room. They are now tethered, Nicole, because they are about to move some pieces that connect the Orion spacecraft to the white room, correct?
Yes, there's kind of what I would call a shroud. You can see them working that there. So it is actually connected so that way the gap between
So all the workers outside, not the astronauts themselves, but the workers are in the process of basically taking off the gangplank, the entryway to the capsule. Now that the capsule is sealed, they're removing that. So they have safety harnesses and they're tethered now just in case, because they can fall out between the ramp to walk on the capsule and the capsule itself. So they are removing that. Not unlike when you walk on an airplane, you have that canopy that pressures against the side of the aircraft when you walk on. It's very similar, looks the same. And again, you could watch everything I'm telling you right now on NASA's YouTube channel. You go to YouTube, search for NASA, and when you get to the NASA's page, just hit live. Now, there's a bunch of media agencies that's also live streaming this very... So there's plenty of places you can get it. News, as I'm watching Fox News here in the studio, is in a commercial right now, but they are hitting in and out of this.
A temperature for one of the two last batteries is out of range, and although it's not a constraint for launch right now, it would be when that temperature is checked inside of T-minus 6 minutes, which is inside of terminal count. So right now the team is working some troubleshooting on this issue. Going to follow, of course, along closely with what they learn. But again, a battery temp for one of the two batteries on the last is out of spec. And the team is working to understand, first of all, whether or not this may be a sensor issue, or is there an issue with the battery itself? So again, looking into it, troubleshooting and researching as we speak. With regards to the weather, we did get some good news there. Launch Weather Officer Mark Berger reporting to the launch director that the weather chances have now improved for the window. We are up to 90% go, which is great news. Again, 90% go. That is up from the 80% that we started when we had the first weather forecast come out officially 3 days ago. And so that is great. And for anybody who's here in the launch area...
Sir, as you're listening, there's one or two batteries, and one of the temperatures of one of those batteries is out of spec, which doesn't affect anything now, but if it gets within the shorter launch window, it will affect it. So they are troubleshooting that as we speak. The workers are removing basically the gangplank or the entryway to the capsule itself, moving everything away to make the capsule free, as the arm will move away from the capsule itself. So it'll be free to take off. We are at T-minus 51 to take off, and it's a 90% go. The weather has improved. It's 5:33 here at WILK. We'll be back after the news with Paul Michaels. We're going to go to that for a second, but I do have a phone call I want to take. Let me see. We have Sharon. Sharon,
yes.
How are you doing?
Hi there. I'm calling because I'm not sure if you were aware of yesterday. They had a meeting last night in Oliphant, and it was advertised as a public hearing for the public and residents to comment on a proposed zoning amendment dealing with data centers. They had an excellent crowd, well over 100. About 14 or less spoke. Now, here's the problem that I see. I think you'll see it, too. What they did was they made the public, when they came up to speak, take an oath They had to do sworn. Their comment had to be under sworn testimony and an oath. Now, that is not free speech. And free speech at a public meeting should not be a prerequisite that you have to take an oath.
What was the oath? Give me an overview of what oath they were asking them to take.
Well, it was a woman. I didn't see the woman on the side, but the people got up there to the mic, and then she gave them their oath, like that. The testimony they're about to give. The testimony they're about to give is sworn. They swear it to be factual, et cetera, et cetera. And then they have their hand up, and then they say, you know, I do.
And this was during a public comment for a zoning change.
Yeah, a zoning amendment change on data centers. Now, I put calls in today to the borough solicitor of Oliphant. His name is C.J. Mustachio, and he did not call me back. And then the woman told me she would have a zoning officer call me back. Again, no call back. I told her what my concerns were. And my big fear with this is this new now? Is this going to be the new lawfare against the public with the data centers?
So this was a Borough of Oliphant meeting on a zoning change, and they were asking residents who were there to comment as residents and taxpayers to swear that anything they said was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or something similar to that.
With their hand raised. So, again, there are over 100 people, very good attendance, and I think it was about 14 or less that actually spoke. And to me, I think that was a chilling effect for the public when they saw people having to do that, and then an intentional intimidation effect, because now they're going to sit there and wonder, well, gee, I was going to talk about how far close the data center was, but I'm not sure if it's 100 feet or 50, so I better not speak.
I can definitely see where that was. Was the media there at all, Sharon? Do you know?
I don't know if the media was there. I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
And I did see a few, three people I saw on Facebook did take this oath. And I was told by someone who was at the meeting that in the very beginning of the meeting, the public was told you are not to ask the council any questions. And they will not answer any questions if you do ask them questions.
Well, that's common at public meetings. Public comment is for you to say your piece there. It's not to question county council or commissioners or such. That's common. You know, you can ask questions, but they're not obligated to answer. It's your public comment, period.
Right.
It usually doesn't turn into a back and forth. That's very common. But here's the thing. If this is the tactic they are using, and I have to look at why this was done and something I will follow up on, I wonder if those county, the borough officials will take that same oath every time they have a meeting, because you know, we've seen time and time again, maybe some of the things they're saying themselves isn't 100% above bar.
Exactly correct. Will they do the exact same thing when they give comment or try and explain why they did whatever they do with the data centers under oath to the public?
No, it's something I'm going to follow up on, Sharon. If you get any answers from your county, your borough solicitor or anyone in the borough, please let us know.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you. That's strange if that was the case. I understand there's testimony when you're testifying, for like a PP&L hearing or, you know, an official capacity. But public comment, if this was just public comment, there's something wrong there. But again, we have to find out the details. It is 5:43 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
A lot is about to happen within the first 10 minutes of launch. But what happens after those first 10 minutes? Let me take you over here to my mission map so we can kind of jump ahead and let me explain a few things. So our main engine cutoff is going to stand for MECO, and that is essentially where the rocket's job is done. And it is then going to turn the propulsion duties over to our ICPS. That stands for Interim Cryogenic Propulsion Stage. Don't try and say that too many times fast. But the ICPS is going to be right here, and that's our in-space propulsion. About 50 minutes into launch, it is going to conduct that first burn, and that's going to be the perigee raise maneuver. Essentially, what that is going to do is going to raise the spacecraft from a lowest point of Earth, just a little bit higher into space. And then they are going to conduct that nice path. It's going to set them on that nice circular path around the Earth. That's when they're going to start to be able to really check out this spacecraft. The Orion spacecraft is going to be able to, like we've talked about, be maneuvered by the crew. They're going to check out those life support systems, and communication checkout is going to be vital at that point as well, obviously. Then they will be conducting that another burn, and that's going to raise them just a little bit higher again. And then they will, it'll be about time for the ICPS to separate, and they will start another lap around the Earth as well. Now, the ICPS, but even after it separates, its job will not be done, because they will have the opportunity to conduct something called the Proximity Operations Demonstration. And this is going to be really important for our future lunar missions, because the ICPS actually has a target on it, and the crew is going to have the opportunity to manually maneuver these spacecraft, like we've mentioned, and practice those docking maneuvers. Now, obviously, they will not be docking for this mission, but that is, again, going to be critical for those lunar missions in the future. Now, all right, after that ICPS has separated and they've done that second lap, they're going to conduct two more burns. And what these burns are going to do is set them up to the high enough orbit and a fast enough speed in order to conduct the translunar injection. This is going to be that critical moment and that critical milestone where they are going to produce about 6,000 pounds of thrust. And this is that point that is going to take them out of deep, out of low Earth orbit into deep space. And it's going to set them on that nice path towards that lunar flyby. And I know we have talked a little bit about why this could be a record-breaking flyby and journey to the moon. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Megan so she can tell us just why.
Yeah, she's talking about the distance record set by the Apollo 13 astronauts in 1970. They were 248,655 miles away from Earth, and this Artemis II crew might surpass that on flight day 6 when they fly around the moon by more than 4,000 miles.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a long ways. It's tough to fathom 250,000 miles from Earth, right? I mean, space, you know, the space station is only 250 miles, and so we're going, you know, I don't want to do the public math, but we're going much further than that. But, you know, it's important, right? Because we want to get back to the moon. We want to see the surface. We want to see the far side of the moon. And the way we do that is by breaking distance records.
Yeah. And the exact distance record depends on exactly when they launch, like the time, the day. So we'll learn more as we go into this 10-day mission with the Artemis II crew. But here we are, 32 minutes.
Currently, we're right now 32 minutes to launch. Jake, just keep that on here because I want to catch up on some things. I did get contacted via text message, Rob. It was a zoning hearing, board hearing, to change the zoning for data centers. So it wasn't just public comment. It was an actual hearing. This person's a supervisor in a different area and been through these hearings. During a hearing, you have to give oath and testimony, not just comment. So that explains a little bit more of what was happening there.
But you are not alone. We will be all cheering you on from planet Earth.
Hey, I'm Victor Wembanyama, and I play basketball in the NBA. But I'm not only interested in shooting hoops. I'm also interested
right now, with 32 stars, minutes to launch, you basically have actors. And as Scarlett Johansson was just there, that was another actor. This is an NBA player. Wishing them luck on their takeoff. Again, NASA has to fill a lot of airtime. I'm interested to see with that technical glitch that's going on with the overheating battery. Was that a sensor? Did they were they able to correct it, or at least know that it's not a critical function? Because they did say if it gets within 6 minutes of launch and that battery is still out of specs, that could prevent this launch from happening. So it's something that we are looking at. But yes, this is all pre-recorded stuff that NASA's looking to fill while they're looking to fill time. I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now, a lot of checks of the systems that's happening in the
around the moon, make sure somewhere to park, and then you park journey. Good luck.
And if you want to watch this, it's live on NASA on YouTube. You can also go to gonasa.gov, I believe, and it's also being streamed there as well. A lot of news agencies, I'm seeing that Fox News is going back in and out of it as it's happening.
look at this live view of the rocket on the pad. There is a spectacular place here at Kennedy Space Center to watch launch from, and that's the Banana Creek viewing area. Why don't we go back there where the crowd is excited, and Leah has the best assignment ever talking to people who are super excited about being here for Artemis II.
Oh my gosh, Megan, you talk about the excitement being palpable. I'm telling you, everybody here on Pins and Needles, as we get just about half an hour away from launch, I've been walking around talking to people, and I'm just struck again and again by how many people are here from across the agency. I want to introduce you to just a small portion of the people across NASA who have been supporting this mission.
Patty Ortiz, NASA Armstrong Flight Research Center, Orion Program.
Orion.
Kathy Graves, Glenn Research Center, Office of STEM Engagement.
David Alexander, NASA Glenn Research Center, Office of STEM Engagement.
Jennifer Becerra, Johnson Space Center.
Now, basically what this is NASA workers who work in different areas that have gotten this program to this point, who are here to see the fruition of their work.
From headquarters, Next Gen STEM.
Mark Robinson, Stennis Space Center, Commercial Space.
Amira Flores, Armstrong, Office of the STEM Engagement.
Molly Kearns, NASA Glenn, Space Communications and Navigation.
Matthew Pierce, Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York City.
Here we go, and right over here,
Lauren Ring, Ames Research Center, Data Integration.
So right now, this is turned over to Mission Control. They are in charge. They are looking for the go-no-go and troubleshooting any issues. These are the many, many, just a small portion of the many, many workers and employees who helped. Who helped get this mission to this point.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, that made me so emotional. That was so inspiring to see. I mean, wow. Yeah, that was great. I mean, just to hear everybody say their position, what they're doing to support this mission is amazing. And I'm sure this was something that really rang.
You can continue to let it play in the background there, Jake. But let me tell you about my friends at Applewood Farms. Listen, they still have a few split hams available for Easter. Pork is restocked, as well as ground and rope sausage. They are now offering porchetta. When I was there just this weekend to pick up a few things, the porchetta looked phenomenal. It was pre-seasoned, ready to go in a vacuum sealed. Frozen. Check it out. Make sure that you check out their beef. It's grass-fed and grain-finished, known for its marbling and flavor. It's the only place I get my beef now. Matter of fact, I'm having some of their hamburgers tonight because, again, it's the only beef we buy now. Once you have it, it's hard to go back. Private orders are always welcome, so if you're looking for a half, a quarter, or a whole steer, you can get that. They have great selection of unsweetened Greek yogurt, seasonings, cheese, honey, syrup, and tallow products. And mark your calendars for their open house May 2nd and 3rd. I will be there, so hopefully I see you there. Come up and say hi if you're there. That's applewoodfarmpa.com, applewoodfarmpa.com.
And that is going to be filled with science discovery and tech demonstrations.
Jake, do we have to break? Are we good to the end? We're good to the end? Okay, we have to break. We'll be back, and I'm going to monitor this to see if we have any updates before we leave.
Directly working on Artemis II. Artemis III is coming up next year. When this mobile launcher gets back in the VAB,
we're T-minus 25 minutes now, almost exactly, for launch of the Artemis II missions.
Of course. All right. And with that,
for NASA Commander Reed Weissman,
under 25,
NASA Pilot Victor Glover,
of our 2-hour launch,
NASA Mission Specialist Christina Koch, and Canadian Space Agency Mission Specialist Jeremy Hansen. Godspeed. God bless.
Oh, wow. There are more people and less time.
Yes. Exactly.
Good luck.
Which is a great problem to have.
Yes.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims. Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.